so I encourage you again to participate in that. But here, how to vote, I put it down with three of our other penny pulpits. God's Word, the Holy Bible, establishes some planks that are most pertinent in our election of representatives and leaders. Never voting for a personality. We're voting for someone who stands, and they're either planks of righteousness or they're planks straight from the pits of hell. And it's no coincidence that every one of these seven planks that I got in here are vehemently opposed by a certain party that's putting up a president for election this year. And so just be cognizant of that, that we don't vote around here on personalities. I don't care. Hebrews are God's chosen people. Israel is a nation. Palestine is God's promised land for His chosen people. God promised that He would bless them that bless Israel and curse them that curse Israel, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Vote for the leaders and representatives on a platform that will bless Israel. There is a platform that curses Israel. That last president, well, again, I put that right at the top. To me, that's the most important thing. Secondly, in God's Word and in Spirit, at conception, in the womb. And there are several verses. I left out a list of 12 more that would support that. Vote for leaders and representatives on a platform that will protect the innocent in the womb. There's only two parties that have that as their platform. One of them is the representatives, or Republicans, and the other is the... God created physical organs, chromosomes, that determine which gender a person is. They do not get to choose which they want to be. Choosing a gender is not a civil right. I think I skipped one. In God's Word, for a man to lie with another man is an abomination, not a civil right. Very clearly, straight up. Husband, he went home to his husband every night. The presidency of the United States of America, I don't know but what America has gone so far down this road that I don't know if we'll ever come back. If you look in the Bible, there was only one king that went through and destroyed the Sodomites and removed them from the city of Jerusalem. And God blessed him richly. And so again, understand how far down that road we have gone, and understand that the male and a female, and that the home established around that marriage, being a father and a mother, is to be the stable environment for the conception, the birth, the rearing, and the training of children. Vote for leaders and representatives on a platform that will have a strong moral position on these issues. When a candidate has his head on straight concerning these five issues, most of his economic to impossible. But finding the party platform that is diametric every one of these seven planks is blatantly obvious. For those with a stomach, for two more Christian planks, in God's Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was the Creator and is the sustainer of all things. Our environment and our climate are more controlled by Him than by mere man and their ludicrous government regulation. And then the last plank here, in God's Word, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, intended to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together into a local, independent, autonomous body called churches. Laws, edicts, and policies that forbid such assembly are ungodly, and we ought to obey God rather than man. Christians need to hold these godly plans close in every election of representatives that we have. Pew 7.
Grace in every high and stormy gale, my anchor within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Presentation we have even on display over here. And again, what I have in the PowerPoint display is all of the verses. How many verses were there? All 106 verses that I'd like to read. I had them up on slides, and it takes 30 seconds to read through each slide. And I've got 29 that I wanted to go through this morning, so I think I figured out that that's going to take just 15 minutes just to read the scriptures through that I want to end there. And if you have access to the internet and you have not clicked on our last link, shame on you again. I encourage you to find that on our webpage. Click on the last October. It's got all the slides that we've spent the past 23 years putting together. And boy, I encourage you, it's got this one right here. I just added this morning. And again, this has all of the scriptures from the Word of God on the Battle of Armageddon. But let's go ahead and begin our look at that in the book of Revelation and chapter. And so again, when we look at unbelievable. I need batteries like every month. I need new batteries in there. So I'll go ahead and preach this on my front porch here later. But anyway, I encourage you to be familiar with these scriptures. I've gone through them, and I added 160 more verses to it on the day of the Lord. And I want to again cover this last Sunday of October some key things about our hunt for the last October. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're in Revelation chapter 16, and we're going to cover a lot of stuff here today. And boy, I encourage you again to be faithful, even to study the last things. A lot of people asking a lot of questions about the last days right now, with good reason. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river. Sixth angel poured out his vial. These are the seven of God. We're going to read what happens in the sixth and the seventh. And so again, the seven vials that are poured out, they are preceded by seven trumpets that sound out. I like to say they peal the sound of warning to the world. And so the seven trumpets precede these, and again, are kind of a foretaste of some of these things that are come in the vials of the wind. And so we are here at the very end of that three series of seven, and this is the angel poured out his vial of the wrath of God upon the river Euphrates. Look at verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs who come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Notice the trinity of Satan in that verse. Verse 14. For they are the spirits of devil world. used to be when I was studying Bible prophecy, I could never understand that America would be part of the judgment of the nations. It would take a Marxist overthrow. Instead, it's taken a Marxist undertow. So there's that whole world thing again, and that shows up repeatedly in our study of the Battle of Armageddon. And of the whole world, comma, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God, together unto a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven and from the throne, saying, "It is done." Father, praise you and thank you for the clarity of your word that only a believer can see. Father, thank you for ears to hear. And in this case, even as you've asked of the church, and ear to hear. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Again, my introduction to the book that I'm writing now includes the fact that we... that I, for 23 years, have gone about preaching the last October Bible Prophecy Conference. It wasn't until this year that I finally figured out the flaw in all of our thinking. I have argued again about the rapture of the church. Again, many in the Baptist circles now are leaving the books. And make no mistake, they're going with the majority. The majority of is wrong concerning the second coming of Christ, concerning biblical prophecy. Some of them, of the authors that I have on systematic theology, including Strong, Hodge, Charles Hodge, a tremendous, tremendous communicator, he came up to the Doctrine of Last Things and he said this: nobody understands any of this, and so I'm not even going to write about it. And that's what he did. He just avoided the whole subject. He'd been taught good that the Catholic Church is going to set up the millennial kingdom of God, and this is a big deal. This is a part of the day of the Lord. I got in our bulletin there a whole outline of what it is to be in the day of the Lord, and so I encourage you again to look through those verses as well. But again, to understand this, that is what Bible prophecy is all about. The biggest thing in biblical prophecy is not the rapture of the church. The biggest thing, now we think it is, because that pertains to us. But the biggest plan that he promised them from the beginning, and so again, so many people, and even arguments with others about the rapture of the church. Listen, the rapture of the church is just a tiny little piece of biblical prophecy that we want to look at here, even this morning, to understand that, no, the big deal about all this, and the big deal to God, is the fact that He has a people, Israel, and He's going to put them back together. He made promises to Israel, and He's going to fulfill every one of them. Well, I just get excited this week about rediscovering the main thing and looking at the outline of what we've preached here, starting at Yom Kippur and going all through the month of October. First, we preached about Yom Kippur. I got several Baptist preachers that give me a question. What are you doing talking about Yom Kippur? Isn't that a Jewish holiday? No, what it is, it's a prophetic holiday. Let me go ahead and say that again. Yom Kippur, the Feast of Trumpets, and the Feast of Tabernacles that are involved around that three holiday season, ruling them from the throne of David for 1,000 years. That's what it's all about. And we looked at them again weeks ago when we had our Yom Kippur coverage. And then again, some of us spent Yom Kippur in fasting and prayer and troubling our soul so that God would again fulfill. Remember the prayer of Daniel where he said he figured out that it was going to be 70 years and 70 years had arrived. And that's when he started fasting and praying and said, "Lord, even so come." And so we ought to be the same. Understand that here we are. All of our focus should be upon Israel. Some of our focus ought to be on 1948. help reestablish the nation of Israel in the world and put them in the promised land, something that was absolutely impossible for nigh unto 2,000 years, yet God did it. And so again, as we look at the miracles that's going on around us, even the miracle that the United States of America would shake their fist at God and again, defy God and defy Israel. That's unbelievable. That's happened in the past. Blessed Israel. And if we say God bless America, it is God will not bless America until America blesses Israel. And so that's the plight that we're in, even to come forth if we get a second trump sounding this next week. And so we looked at Yom Kippur. We looked at all seven of the feasts. I tried to. I know I got them in my book now. All seven of the feasts of God and how they are prophetically fulfilled in the Word of God, all fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Kippur, which is again the Day of Atonement, and then again the Feast of Tabernacles. All of the tabernacle with Israel. He said so. He'll fulfill it. Then, praise the Lord, we looked at the 70th week of Daniel. And I looked at the 70th week of Daniel in more detail than I ever looked at before because I read the Scripture and we just did the Bible exhortation of what the Scripture says is going to happen in that after that 70th week of Daniel. And it is miraculous. And it describes again the end of the 7-year and several times again to refer to where this world is going. What in the world is God doing? It's there in the 70th week of Daniel, Daniel 9:24. And then we looked at the fact out of Ephesians chapter 3 and 1 or 2, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, that hey, this dispensation is going to happen. There are out there, and again, I have a good long discussion about some of this stuff with preachers that I know, and we've cooperated again against with a lot of this stuff here. And he has bumped in, we baptized. They believe there's a gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation. And so listen, I'm not hyper, I'm not ultra, but listen, everything in your Bible hinges on dispensationalism. And I've put an emphasis in the past 23 years that we need to be familiar with the dispensations and understand how God is working in this world. And in Ephesians chapter 3, we looked at the fact that the dispensation where the Gentiles are made equal with the Jews, and there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, we're all made one and two, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up out of here. Dispensation is over. And God begins the dispensation of the fullness of times, as Paul describes it there in Ephesians. And so we looked at that, and I still get excited about that. And then we looked at the time of Jacob's trouble. And I tried to emphasize this. It is a time of Jacob's trouble. There is coming an end of the time of the Gentiles. And instead, all of God's focus at that time is going to be on a time, a short time. And Jacob, including both Israel and Judah, will be saved out of it and will be gathered together. And then today we want to address, in 5 minutes we have left, we want to address this battle of Armageddon that we just looked at. Let's look at a few of the verses that we have here. And I think I'll go ahead and click through them on our slides just for my sake. It's colored in orange. When it talks about the day of the Lord, it's colored in red. When it talks about the first advent of the second advent of Christ, it's in purple. When it talks about the kingdom, it's in green. And so again, I've gone through and I can flip through my Bible and I can just color it. I got the whole thing color-coded. I'm not seeing another Bible like it. You get yourself a set of colored pencils and a Scofield Reference Bible that references all those verses. And it's amazing how enlightening that is. It's amazing how much it helps you rightly divide the word of truth and know which age you're talking about. But again, understand that there's prophecies in the Bible when it says that you're to take your... it says take your weapons of war and beat them into plows. And again, to go back to farming again. and go back to what you're supposed to be doing, because there's going to be no more war. Listen, that's not talking about now. Again, the Bible says, take your weapons, take your plows and your pruning hooks and beat them into weapons. Because again, there's coming a great war. We've already looked at Revelation chapter 6. Let's go through some of the verses. There's a list of verses that I put in your bulletin. And I encourage you again to either go through our slides and read them or look them up by hand and mark them in your Bible. Isaiah 10:33 says, "Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bow with terror, and with the high ones of stature shall he be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thicket of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one." Isaiah 24, "And it shall come to pass, in the day gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and in days shall they be visited." Isaiah 26, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as if it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." In Isaiah 20, Isaiah 34, "Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth fall therein, and the world, and all things that come of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations." Isaiah 63, "Who is this that cometh from Edom and dyed garments from Barzah? This is that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat?" You'd be amazed at how many of these tie right back to things in my fury. Isaiah 66, last book of the book of, or chapter of the book of Isaiah. "Will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." Jeremiah has a couple verses and references again to the great battle. Ezekiel covers some verses that talks about it according to their uncleanness and according to their trepidation. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter the Lord, chapter 2, look at it with me. It says, well, let's look at 15, of verse 15 of chapter 1. Bible says in Joel chapter 1, verse 15, "Alas for the day. The day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." Look at verse chapter 2. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion." This chapter all the way down through verse 11 has to do with the battle of Armageddon, where God is going to bring all nations and will again cause that again all the nations will be judged. Verse 11 says, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, and for he is strong and executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" Look with verse 28, same chapter, Joel 2 says, "And it shall," look at biblical prophecy, there is a near-term fulfillment, and there is a near-term fulfillment where most of it is literally fulfilled. And yet there is a far-term fulfillment where all of it is fulfilled. I'll give you an example. Isaiah chapter 7 says that, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and before that child grows up and can determine left or right from wrong, that all these nations will be removed from you. Again, the prophecy that's given to Isaiah there, Hezekiah, all those countries were completely annihilated. Just that's a near-term fulfillment. But also there's long-term fulfillment where it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." And again, that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. That's the long-term fulfillment. In between those are many other two things I like to call them. One is mirrored fulfillments. and the other is foreshadowed fulfillments. And so again, understand that there are times, again, when God has a mirror fulfillment. Well, I'll give you a couple examples. Was Hitler the Antichrist? Her middle name might be Rodham, I don't know. But again, he's got an Antichrist all to pick. And Satan doesn't know when God's going to pull the saint away and give him free reign. And so those are mirror fulfillments or partial fulfillments or what we call foreshadowing of a complete fulfillment. So we see a bunch of them in scriptures, and notice even here in this God judging nations, God judges several nations and annihilates them and brings them through half of the things that's list perfect righteousness without walls and without danger. And so those are fulfillments that are going to be is coming a complete fulfillment for every jot, J-O-T, and every tittle of God's word will be fulfilled very literally. And so again, Joel there, I don't have time to read chapter 3. I'm sure that you go home with bated breath and can't wait to read Joel chapter 3. Here it is again that talks again about this very battle of Armageddon, and it describes it in great detail by the prophet Joel. The Lord which stretcheth forth the heaven and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. In Hebrew, this word Jerusalem means Jerusalem. Okay? In Hebrew, this word cup of trembling means cup of trembling. Again, don't let, again, modernist scholars deceive you about what the Bible's saying here. This is for Jerusalem, this is for Israel. A cup of trembling unto all the people round about. When he shall be this. Verse 8 says, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them, and shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Then, verse chapter 14, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet, watch verse 4, and his feet shall stand in the valley, and the half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north, and half of it towards that is called the Battle of Armageddon. That is called the Valley of Megiddo, where this battle takes place. God will literally fulfill every dot and jot and tittle of his word. And as we look at the Battle of Armageddon, understand that it is the beginning. It is a piece of the day of the Lord. The church will be gone. The church will be gone. The heart of all biblical prophecy is a study of this, the Lord. You and I are just pieces on the outside fringe of it. If you remember, we looked at the prophecy at the beginning of putting together a jigsaw puzzle and getting the frame right. This is the frame, includes the fact that God's going to fulfill his promises to Israel. It has nothing to do with you and I. Has everything to do with God fulfilling all of his promises to Israel. And you and I, listen, in Ephesians chapter 2, I think it is, God says, what are all these Gentiles that are saying? God, that's what you and I are. We are again a display of the mercy and grace of God. You'd be a proud display of that even in this week. And remember again that the main thing is what God's going to do with Israel. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for the scriptures that we looked at here. Father, it's overwhelming. I pray again, Father, that you'd help us again, even now, to be your witnesses, because that's what you told us to do, of the saving grace that's available to all of mankind, whether Jew or Christ, even as we keep the main thing as far as biblical. We'll praise you and thank you for your hand on our pump for the last October this year. Father, maybe we found it. And I pray that you help us be we also ready. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand. Let's just add a hymn of invitation. I don't know.
tithe to their plan of salvation, but if they're not saved, where are we? In his hands, with the election in his hands.